Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
And may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. These are our launching verses for this morning again, looking at these particular areas, 2 Corinthians 9:8, Hebrews 4:16, Acts 1:8, and that's for those that are listening online. I want you to know that we have an awesome audience online. It's just absolutely incredible, and we are blessed to be able to plant seeds. And every time I look at the hits, it's just amazing. We've got some situation, I've looked back, over 1,000 hits on the thing. So, you know, it's just, it's not just our little holy huddle this morning. Praise God. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Hebrews 4, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And then Acts 1:8, this is the Pentecostal side. If you're a charismatic, in this particular portion in your Bible is normally all greasy and thumbprints and all that kind of stuff. Right here it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Father, thank you again that you have said that there's nothing that we would face that your grace would not be sufficient for. Thank you that you're building within us that head knowledge. And we're praying that, God, it works down into our spirit man, where we recognize it changes us. So with that confidence that we have, because your word will not return void, we open ourselves to hear what the Spirit would say to the church this morning, and we claim it together in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 You can... I got the seated. I cut my microphone before the seated side. How many people are going to have a fantastic week next week? I believe it. I'm still online. I mean, I'm letting people know we're being recorded right now, but I love autumn. There's something about the refreshment time that comes. I like spring and autumn. Those are the preparation times, and then the preparation time. The preparation for growth, then the preparation time for a time of intimacy. That's what happens in winter. And any kind of weather that's like Carmel is fine with me. And we're getting close there, folks. As we saw, 2016... the year of grace and mercy. We go over this, some of the points that we've covered, in order for us, how many know sometimes it takes one or two or three times for us to get things into us. And I'm not here, and I've told you before, not just to give out information. We're here to be able to get it into us, because information that is not applied is just a waste of time, right? So the Lord says that he sent out his word and he changes us. So it may seem redundant, but open up in the spirit. Plus, there are many people that are listening online that have not heard this. And if you can lip sync with me, okay? So this year was very important as we looked at it. The whole thing was, and I say it again after this week, listening to the news, seeing what's going on. Let me tell you, folks, God needs us. He really does. I just, I don't know where you come from with this thing, but I get a lot of junk mail, and so do you. You can't imagine what's being offered today. Medication, drugs, everything online. You know, I don't know where you are with marijuana, but anything that makes you hurts your lungs and stuff like that. But now they're offering, you know, something that was banned, and you know, you make that decision. You know, there's smoking is not going to keep you from heaven. How many know there's important things that we're dealing with? But that's your choices to be able to make. But what I'm saying is there's becoming a redefinition of what is right. Scripture says that the end times, and please, if you're into marijuana, that's not what I'm talking about. I don't know why I did that. I just saw a message this morning, and right now you can get your own plants online. And I went, my gracious, it's amazing, whatever. Grow some corn, tomatoes, all kinds of stuff. But anyway, that's a segue. What's happening today is the Bible says that in the end times there is going to be a redefining of things. The things that are evil and harmful are going to be called good. Are going to be called good. And that which is good is going to be called evil. How many know some of that's going on now? It's absolutely amazing. That's why this next election, folks, is absolutely crucial. Absolutely crucial. I'm going to be talking about it later on as we get closer to it, which we're very close. But we have a responsibility before the Lord to vote what we feel is right. And that is, if we want to see this nation again under God, we must vote that way. The principles, how many know there was only one perfect candidate, right? And that wasn't Abraham Lincoln or Ronald Reagan, or for any of you Democrats, who would be a John Kennedy? There was only one candidate, and he didn't run for president of the United States. He ran for the king of the world. So when we see this, and you're going to hear, it's not a political speech. You know me. What I have a desperate, desperate desire is to see America turn to God again. And that is the message that we as pastors have been mandated to be able to minister to our country, to those in our churches. And just like there are other platforms of ministry that are platforms of communication, one of the most important platforms that we have in the United States is the church platform. And the pastors have agreed together. We are going to do what we feel is necessary to be able to promote godly principles in the restructuring of the United States of America, on the principles that we were, in fact, founded on, which has completely been turned around. Now, you can come and ask me who I'm voting for, and I'll gladly share with you. But what I want you to do is go before the Lord, and those listening online, and ask the Lord, who would you have me to vote for? Because we no longer make decisions. How many know that when you buy a car, it's good to ask for the Lord decisions, his recommendation, or buy a house, or if you're about ready to, I met with a young couple the week before last, and they were basically young Christians, and they came and it was outside of our church, and they wanted to get married, and I asked them why, and of course they give you because we love one another, and that's great, which is absolutely okay. What's love got to do with it? And they asked me, well, how do we know if this is right or not? I says, there's only one way. And that's to place that decision in God's hands. I've counseled thousands. Most of my counseling is around marriage and 80% of my counseling is that. And the understanding that I don't believe that the person, for those listening online, I'm a little bunny trail here, And for all those who need to hear or minister, because I'm not just talking for you. I've told you a long time, this is not just for you. It's to minister to other people. When a person has either a gift of celibacy, that is a gift. And you could read it with Paul. Paul says it. A higher calling is to not be married, to have that relationship with the Lord. But if you desire to be married, then get married. And I believe that there is a gift of marriage. There was a gift of celibacy and a gift of marriage. And the difference is what's stirring within your heart? Is there a desire to be married? Is there a desire? Then God has given that person the gift of marriage. You knew someone who had the gift of celibacy. You know who that was? It was Anne. And she made the commitment to our family because she knew that what her ministry was, the reason why God created her, was to help us in the ministry. And I tell you, you remember, she was a gorgeous lady. And in the end, at the beginning, like I said, in the memorial service, I had to fight people off of her because I didn't want to lose her. And I asked her, "Do you have the gift of marriage?" She said, "In the initial stages, I did. But then God's called me to another calling." So if a person has the gift of marriage, I believe that God created a person and another person to be linked together. It's not flipping coins, right? And I have no idea in the world what I'm doing on this money trail, but I pray, God, have your way. I don't believe we've got five options, and just because that person is a Christian, that's the particular person that I should have go for. I believe it's like going into a car lot and say, "Well, it's got four tires. I might as well. It's got four tires and a steering wheel. I guess I'll choose that one." I don't believe that. I believe that some people don't. I believe that God created a person for the person that they created them for. And vice versa, the other side too. What happens if you make a mistake? Come see me first. Because God makes the choice. That person, and they say, "Well, Pastor," and I've got many people, especially ladies, they're saying, "I want to be married." I said, that person, and a lot of guys that want to be married too. I said, let me talk about the guy's side of it because it's easier to be able. I said, that person, that lady is not going to fall out of heaven. I said to him, she's waiting, she's praying to God for you to get your act together. And then there will be that divine appointment that happens. So what you need to do is to not grow weary in doing well. But if you stay on the path, there's going to be that divine appointment that comes. And all of you who have been married for a while now knew that divine appointment came. And if I told you, and I won't do it, but told you the way that Pat and I were brought together from all over the world, to come to a one place that I've never been to before, and then to a little small town of 4,000 people, finding my mate, my sister, thank you. Let the Holy Spirit come in. Let it blow, right? Like a mighty wind. My sister found her husband in a small little town in Illinois. How that happened is God's divine orchestration. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So when we recognize that the decisions that we are to make are to be God's decisions, and something as important as this next election, which has completely different perspectives, I don't believe that God wants us to say, or stay home and say, "Whatever. Well, whatever. This sounds good. God, what is your will?" All that to go back to the slide here that says God needs us during this time. Also, quickly, we began looking at essentials for ministry. God needing us to do our ministry. And quickly here, we've been looking at the power of grace for ministry. We looked at releasing or speaking grace, how important that is. And I told you, when you hear something on the television or the radio or online that is against God's plans, against God's word, you have the ability to be able to say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I've been doing an awful lot of rebuking this week because there's a lot of junk coming out that really needs to be somehow thwarted, or at least that inundating, that just the next thing. Let me just tell you, for those, one of the keys for you as a Christian, for us today, one of the attempts of the enemy is to cause us to be discouraged and overwhelmed. That's what's going on. We recognize as Christians, the enemy wants us to become depressed, discouraged, or whatever. The purpose is to keep us from forward movement. That's why my life verse is Galatians 6:9. I have it all over the house. And the plaque that you gave me last week had my life verse on it. And the person, Stephen, didn't even know that was my life verse. Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary in doing well, for we will reap a harvest if we do not quit. The enemy wants us to quit. The enemy wants us to listen to the overwhelming sense of what's going on today to discourage us from doing His will, God's will, in the midst of the election. So I want you to pray about it. I want you to understand and speak, God. Speak. I speak blessings to this nation. Pat and I gather together every day and pray for this country. Pray for God's standard again to come, because we are to be stewards of this land that was given to us. And if we don't claim it, if we don't pray, if we don't allow God our invitation to move into the situation, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be transformed into something that we have that doesn't even resemble what we are today. What we were created to be. And I'll tell you, I look around today and I don't see a whole lot of things going on that what my generation was used to. And some of the generations, some of the older people in the generation before, they're just saying, my. But what happened, remember, do not get discouraged in doing well. And it's our responsibility, because God has given us this land, to be wise stewards of it. And you read the parable, we're going to stand up. One of the questions we're going to ask, did you take your place to claim America as a nation under God? Okay, you got it? Anybody? And those listening online, amen. So, speaking grace into the situation. In order to for us to release the breakthrough, you have to receive the power of God into your life. Power literally means to go beyond our ability. How we've been looking at how to release the power of God through your life. And we saw that last week that there were three kinds of power that you have to understand in the Greek. It's all translated in the modern translation as power. But when you look at the original language, the word power can be defined in three different ways. It's three different words. Just like the word love. There are four kinds of love. The Bible, our American translation, says love. But in the Greek, you have to look at, and that's what pastors are for. Unless you want to study Greek, I'll help you on that. But you look at the original language. There's four kinds of love in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, that's translated by the word we say love. Eros is translated love. Eros is physical love. a physical love that happens between the husband and wife. They turn it around to a god, the god of Eros, sitting there popping grapes and all that kind of stuff, but that's not. The word Eros in the Greek in your means physical love. Then there is the word that is translated filio, love, which means, let me back it up, I'll put that to the last. The next one is storge, which means family love. Our love for our family, the brothers and sisters, the love in the church, that's translated as love. Then there is a family member. Then there's the word filio, which is translated as love. But when you look at the Greek, it's filio is brotherly love. You ever heard of Philadelphia? Have you ever heard of the Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love? That came from the word filio. And then there's agape. Agape is the highest form of love. It's the love that says, I love you and I'm not looking for a response. And each one of those scriptures, each one of those things, even though they define it the same way, because, you know, I said, what's love got to do with it? I love rainy days. I love sushi. I love Carmel. I love my wife. I guarantee you, I do not love sushi like I love my wife. So when we talk about love, well, you understand what I'm saying. Let's get back to the area of power. The word power is defined in three different ways. The first kind of power is, when you look at it in the Greek, it's exousia, which means delegated authority and legal right. Jesus says, I have given you authority over the powers of the enemy. He did not say, I have given you power over the power of the enemy. He said, I've given you authority over the power of the enemy. So exousia means authority. All authority. That translation could have been, all power has been given to me. But the correct word in the Greek is, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, and I give that authority to you. And remember, authority is always greater than the next word here, which is called, this is power that energizes. The last one we'll talk about. Power that energizes. God says that when your mortal bodies are tired and sick or whatever, the Bible says that I will release the Spirit of God that will quicken your mortal being. That means there's a power released from heaven that actually can refresh you. Have you ever gone, turn on been tired, turn on a K-Love or a worship CD that you have, and just all of a sudden just go, just caught up in God's presence? Well, that's what we're talking about. The Bible says that there's a power that is released from heaven that will all, even this morning, worshiping this morning, I just felt, I asked Pat, how are you feeling? She says, the worship just caused me to just come up again. That's what happens. In his presence is fullness of joy. That literally means a invigorating. But God's just not talking about our spirit. He also wants our bodies to be quickened. To be quickened means to be re-energized. And that's what that verse is. The other one is dunamis. Explosive, miracle-working power of God. Enablement. God, in Acts 1:8, and this is the one we're going to be talking about, because what we're talking about is the power of God in our lives. Jesus, when he went into a city, didn't preach the gospel first. For those online, we know that here, because I've gone over it before. He didn't walk in. You are not to go into your job and start preaching the gospel. First of all, you're to pray. How many know that Jesus prayed to get the will of the Lord before he went into a town? You're supposed to pray. And then there comes a time where God will begin to demonstrate his power through you. And I'm not talking about healing the sick, but that's wonderful. He'll do that too. I'm talking about a power that contends against the powers of hell that have encroached into everywhere, not just your business, but everywhere. And the Lord says, I've given you dunamis power to break whatever that might be. I dealt with a person last week that was literally bound by the Spirit of the Lord, the enemy. He's bound by the Spirit of the Lord now. But he was so overwhelmed with situation, still doing his job, but just, he said, I feel like I'm just absolutely, no matter where I turn, running into walls, just everybody fighting me in the situation. And he was a high-ranking management position. And it was just like, it's overwhelming to me. And he came and I discerned that what was happening in his life, that literally he had succumbed to an overwhelming manipulative plan in his company, in the management side of his company. And it was such a tremendous pressure on him that he was just buffeted around. And he came to the point where he was neutralized. And as he explained the situation, the Lord gave me understanding, and it wasn't trying to give answers to situation. We were dealing with a spirit. We fight not against the flesh. That's the first place I look. The circumstances are just the results of allowing the enemy to come in and to manipulate. And what we did together is we took authority over that situation. That was a week and a half ago. He called me up last week and he said, Pastor, it's awesome. Just like what happened to you. Awesome. Fantastic. It was wonderful now. There's a sense of now. I feel re-energized. I feel there was a sense of right now, when I go into work, I take authority over that situation. And I don't allow what happened to me to suck me back into it. That's what dunamis is. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I'm going to give you more information of that. Dunamis, absolutely, we saw last week, means explosive, dynamic force, miracle working power, supernatural might, boldness, the power that can dislodge any stronghold of unbelief. Whatever a log jam comes, you're not to take authority over the demon spirits of a logjam in your life. What you do is you claim the breakthrough. And I'm going to be talking about that this morning. That the logjam will be dislodged in the spirit realm. I go back to the same. You don't go back and start preaching the gospel. You go in and you pray and you ask for discernment, and then you allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your play. Lord, give me, I saw this particular person. This person is angry, just causing contention, always coming against me, whatever. Lord, how do I deal with this situation? And the Lord will begin to share, because I told you, your ministry is where God has put you. That's not your job. That's not your job. That's your ministry. Lord, we'll talk about that too. I'm going to get through start preaching my message before I get to it. To break, dislodge strongholds of unbelief. Paul said in Romans 8:11, I pray that you would come to the understand the incredible power that is available for you, those who believe. That you would come to an understanding. That literally means to come from just a hearing inside, but a knowing in your knower, that this is not just some kind of a psychological head trip. And that's what self-helps are. It'll work for a while, perhaps, but we psychologically trying to lift ourselves by our bootstraps. You ever tried to do that? Where have you gotten, other than hurting feet? The bootstraps are too tight. You can't lift yourself up by yourself with your bootstraps. But it says, It is the same release of his mighty power, that's dunamis here, we're talking about dunamis, that raised Christ from the dead. I remember when in seminary, one of my professors taught on Romans, the first 9 chapters, it changes after 9, that when I came to the revelation that we as Christians have that Holy Spirit within inside of us, the same one, when we see the miracles being made, worked by God, Jesus, as he walked, the setting the captive free, the speaking light, life into those that are dead, the hearing, the situation to bring revelation. I'm just going to say, go take a moment in your busy schedule, turn off the computer, turn off all the distractions, take this verse before the Lord and say, Lord, would you give me understanding about this? How many know you can do that? Just, Lord, I need, and then keep quiet, right? Don't start talking, don't start thinking about work or thinking about be still and let God speak to you. The revelation, this is one of the most profound revelations in the New Testament. That what I have within me has the same power to be able to raise the dead. Now, are you going to raise the dead like Jesus did? I don't know. Are you going to be able to deal with some of the areas of deliverance that Jesus did? I don't know. God has his plan for your life. And let me tell you, it's based on not ability, it's based on availability. The Lord, and what the enemy wants us to do is look who we are. Look at yourself. That's a lie. Because you can't determine the Holy Spirit through you. And if you do not by faith lay hold of this truth, all you have is what you see by sight. You don't know who you are. I'm telling you, the definition that you may feel of yourself is inadequate. So when you see yourself the way you see yourself, I don't care if you say that I'm a Christian that can walk on water, which is okay. That's fine if God calls you to walk on water. I use that as an example of doing something that's really out there. But you still don't know who you are. You can't evaluate who you are when Christ shows up through your life. And as I said this morning, God will come to you in his power in direct proportion to your need. That's a promise. If you're out in the weeds somewhere, and you're being overwhelmed, his emphasis is not to give you something to cut down the weeds. God, I got to get these weeds out of my way and walking in the wrong direction. How come all these weeds are here? God says, stop where you're going. My focus is to get you back on path so that you can move forward, not sideways. So if you're incurring weeds in your forward movement, then God has to take the ability, give you the ability to move forward. He has to. You and God are a majority. And if you evaluate yourself, you're going to come up short. If you evaluate yourself, I'm going to say that because somebody needs to hear this. You need to evaluate, if you're evaluating yourself other than God's definition of who you are, then you are making a mistake and you're tying God's hands. Somebody needs to hear that. The Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. And the first thing that happens is that intimidation. But you don't know the problems that I'm facing, Lord. You don't know what I have to deal. God says, that's a spirit of unbelief. Because what you're doing is you're evaluating the situation without me. And I don't evaluate myself anymore. I go back to what God said. It's not what you say. It's not what they say. It's not what anyone says. Who you are, it's what God says you are, and that's your identity. And I'd rather trust God with my identity than try to figure out who I am on my own, or let someone else define me. Somebody say amen, or I'm going to go home. No, I won't, and the doors are going to be locked. See, if you lock the doors, you can't get out. Paul says in Romans 8:11, this whole thing, power to believe. And that's what we're talking about. Jesus said, if you can believe, everything is possible for him. Matthew 21:22 says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Now, either Jesus is evangelistically speaking. That's what we preachers do. We evangelistically say how many people, whatever. Either Jesus is throwing out some kind of weird general statement, or it's truth. Jesus says, if you can believe, everything is possible for him. But how many people have prayed for something that didn't happen? Just me? I know some people. Me! I want God, you to see this. I asked you this and it didn't happen. How many know that God's heard that prayer before he said this? Uh-oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Because there are circumstances people are going through that I can't answer. Well, I'll tell you, the only prayers that he can't answer are the prayers that he can't answer. Right? And what does that mean? And I know we have many levels of degrees of Christians listening. What does it mean that he can't answer a prayer that he can't answer? Well, if we don't pray, it says in another verse, if we pray according to his will, right? Well, how do I know his will? Well, you go out and you flip a coin or get some tarot cards or go down and read your horoscope, find out what God's saying. How do I know, Pastor, if I'm in God's will? And that's a legitimate, trust me, a legitimate question. You know what I say? Something very profound. You ready for this? Ask him. Ask him. Lord, what is your will here? Show me. I believe, I back my ministry on it, that God wants to speak to us more than we want to hear. And the Lord says, if you pray according to my will, then I guarantee you, you have what you ask for. Guaranteed. Now, I want to move on, but I could preach from here on this particular situation. But I want you to, if you believe, I've got another way of coming around. Believe means to place confidence in truth, to accept truth, to have faith in, to depend upon, and to have confidence in. So the key to this whole thing of understanding, key number one is to believe. If you can believe, everything is possible for you. God gives and increases the power to believe. I said that last week. Not only has God called us to believe, totally, he also gives us the ability to believe. Listen to this verse. For God is working in you, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases him. Not only does God tell us to believe, and one of the foundational principles of Christianity is to believe, he says, I will also give you the power to believe. Because there's been many times in my life and yours too, Lord, I don't know if I can believe for this. There's been things that God has offered me that I say, whoa, it's far beyond my faith to believe for. The bottom line was, what did I do with that statement? And there's a lot of people that said, I can't see that, Lord. Can't see it happening, yada, yada, yada. And they fall back. But what I do, and I'm encouraging you to do, if there's something that God's put on your heart and you know it's resonating in your spirit, man, that God, I need, like the prayer was, Lord, help my unbelief. That's a prayer. It's scriptural. And I pray, and I'll tell you, that God, what are we doing as far as time? Always behind, but nevertheless, we will get there. I believe that God always has us in a place where we're requiring His power to believe. Do you understand that? He wants us in a place where we're experiencing the download of dunamis to be able to believe what we're asking for. You can't get bigger unless you are being stretched. And we don't like that, exercising and stuff. But God does it in a loving way. Key number two is this, to declare. Everybody say declare. Mark 11:23, I'll tell you the truth. If anyone says, declares, to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, you know that, and does not doubt that it will happen. It will be done for him. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, I'm going to do it fast here. This then is how you should pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Let me tell you something. That's saying it. I'll show you in just a minute. That's saying it. Do you know the correct way of that prayer when you look at the original language? It's not, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. You know what it is? It's, come thy kingdom, be done thy will. There's a difference between saying it and declaring it. Show you in just a moment. Declare thy kingdom, come thy kingdom, become thy will. What Zechariah chapter 4 verse 7 says this, what are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? We talked about Zerubbabel. You will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone of shouts, of declaration, grace, grace. Remember when Zerubbabel the first time said, grace, grace. He said it. Zerubbabel said that. But Zechariah came back and said, wait a minute here. He didn't say to say it. He said to shout it, which means to declare it. We're getting there. Keys to releasing the power of God through your life. So it is to believe and to move from saying and speaking into declaring. How do we release the power of God? To move from saying to declaring. The word declare means to announce. It means to proclaim. It means to decree. How do we release the power of God? To announce it, to proclaim it, and to decree it. It's like standing on the thing in the old in England. Hear ye, hear ye. One of the things, the tools that the Jewish priest, the high priest, used to use to declare the things of the Lord or the presence of the Lord was the shofar. That's a trumpet. And if you heard it, it's an elk or a ram's horn. And the priest would take this elk or ram's horn. They actually had the ram's horn. You've seen the longer ones. Those are elk horns. And he would blow it. And it sounded like something like, now I have a shofar and I can't blow it. Bryson can blow it, but I can't. But that's what it sounds. And what it meant was, I'm declaring we're declaring the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back with the trumpet sound, the declaration, The angel Gabriel is going to blow the horn declaring the return of the Lord. I want you to hear this. Very, very important. Let's look at the power to believe and the power to release or declare. Extremely important. Now, when I say this, if you hear something online or here in the declaration that I make, I want you to lay hold of it, because I am going to declare God's truth this morning. And I want you, if there's any area where you need, I'm declaring the truth over you this morning. And I want to teach you how to do this. You're not going to do it the way I do, but there is a way that God will lead you to declare things. So, if there's anything, I'll ask you, does anybody here? I'm going through areas where we are to release the area of God, where we will receive power to release, to declare the anointing of the Lord to break through. This is how it works. Number one, the power to believe. Four, healings and miracles. Let me read the verse. Mark chapter 5, 35 and 36. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came to him from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher more?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Now let me ask you, how many people need healing this morning? Raise your hand. How many people will receive what I'm about to do? You online too. What I'm going to do is declare the truth through the power of God to be able to release these signs and wonders, these miracles that God has. So I want you to hear this. In fact, why don't you just, we'll just do the first one. Just put your hands before the Lord right now. For those who need healing, for those who need a miracle in their life, for those that need breakthrough, I'm saying this is what God tells us to do. He says to make this declaration. Father, I stand right now on your word. And your word says that you are a miraculous God. And your word says that if anyone needs healing, let them come before the elders and let them pray the Spirit, the prayer of deliverance and healing, and it shall be done. We claim that, Father, and that there's no miracle that you will withhold, but by the power of God, we have the ability to dislodge it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you, for those who have ears who are ready to receive, that declaration will not return void. And I want you to start from this point and say, "Thank you, Lord, I am healed by in Jesus' name." I don't care whether you feel like it or you didn't, the mountain's not there. You declare it. I've given you the authority to be able to do it as your pastor by Jesus Christ, our shepherd. And I want you to start thinking and ministering that way. The next one is prayer. The Bible says if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Let me, how many people are praying for things right now? Certainly. You ask not, you have not. So here's the declaration, and I want you to receive it. And for those online, Father, I thank you that the prayers of a righteous man are availeth much. I thank you right now that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and my prayers are being heard by you in heaven. And I thank you for the things that I brought before you these past months that you promised me that I will not give up, because you've said that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I claim the answer to my prayer in Jesus' name. How many know that's different than just preaching? How many know that that's part of what you're to do, to declare something? The next one, to overcome unbelief. The scripture says this, Mark 9, 23 and 24, Jesus said, "Everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." One of the greatest reasons that Jesus came down was to break the unbelief. How many people have ever been tempted to unbelieve? Absolutely. Right now, that will always be something that you have to deal with. But let me just declare over you, Father, we thank you that the spirit of unbelief is broken through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you say to us, if we can believe, everything is possible. So we stop that spirit of unbelief that's hindering us. We come against the powers of the enemy that would cause us to doubt and to question you. For you are not, you are a rewarder of those who seek you. And we declare, Father, that I will walk in belief and not unbelief. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. The next one is the challenges, finances, and barriers of life. Anybody have any area challenges there? Isn't it interesting how the Lord takes care of every area of our lives? It says in Mark chapter 11, 23, 22, and 23, Jesus answered, "I'll tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him." Again, another preposterous situation for us to believe in our own. But the Lord says, and I'm declaring, that Father, we have authority over the powers of the enemy. And every challenge that's come against us, as we're in your will, cannot stop you, cannot hold you back. That the powers of the enemy, God, you've told us that you shall supply our need according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. That we will not walk by sight, but that, Lord, you are our source, not my company, not my ability. I declare that you are sufficient for my need in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that nothing can stop me in your will. That no matter what they try or what circumstances, cancer or whatever it might be, whatever it might be, that God, I stand and I declare to that barrier that it shall come down in Jesus' name. That's, let me just tell you, folks, that's the declaration that we are to make for ourselves, for our families, for our ministries. The next one is, strongholds are broken. It says, Isaiah 54, 17, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." James 4, 7, "Submit yourself therefore to the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee." John chapter 8, verse 36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The declaration is, Lord, I thank you that you have given me authority over the powers of the enemy, and this area cannot stop me. I declare the powers of the enemy against my family, against my health, against my job situation to be bound by the authority that you have given me in the name of Jesus Christ. And I declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I declare that I am free from the powers of what used to be. I set aside the things of the past and I press on to the high calling in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I stand against that, the lies, the deceptions, the manipulations, and the robbery of the past. And I stand fast in the liberty where Christ has set me free, and I will no longer be entangled by the yoke of bondage. Somebody say amen. And I don't have to preach this again because I don't think I have the energy for it. But I will. By the anointing of the Lord, it's not by my power or your power, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. The declaration or for ministry. Mark chapter 17 and 18 says this, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well." The declaration is, this, "Thank you, Lord, that you have said to me that I have been called and I have a ministry here on earth, and you will empower me to do what you have done. And I see that person cross the way, or that person that I'm dealing with, or whatever, and I say, Lord, I receive the anointing and the power for ministry, that you have called me to the kingdom for such a time as this, and I will do whatever you tell me to do, not by my power, but by your power. And I declare that situation healed. I declare that person set free. I declare the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim that this is the acceptable year of the Lord, to set the captive free, to speak sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, the ability to walk to the lame, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the declaration that God has. It's different from just saying it. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come and dislodge. And Jesus said to us, when we speak that into a situation, Jesus said, people said of Jesus, he came, who is this man who speaks with such power? And Jesus said to us, you have not because you ask not. And that spirit of unbelief is something that will curtail us stepping into the dynamic of seeing the kingdom of God released in and through your life. Amen. Brooke and April. Amen. I know when I heard this the first time, which is now, I got excited about it. Because having information, and when I wrote the message from the Holy Spirit, the Lord says, this is what I want you to do. Next week we're doing part two. And the other areas we're going to be looking to. So when the Holy Spirit gave me this message, he says, what I want you to do is declare over the people. How many know you don't have to be loud, but it helps. Because he spoke with authority. And somehow or another, the enemy understands where there is authority. And the Lord says to us, not only will I give you the ability to be able to believe, I will give you the ability to pronounce a declaration that I will honor. And all those who are candidates for this situation, say amen. Amen. I want you to bow with me as we close. Father, thank you. You know, Lord, it's exciting when we lay hold. Just like that woman who had the issue of blood for all those years. What she did, she decided to press through the crowds. The crowds are the obstacles between us and the Lord. Those obstacles that try to push us back, to keep us from moving forward, and to cause us to fall short and never get what you have for us. But what she did, for you who remember, she decided, I am not going to allow anything to stop me. I'm going to press through the obstacles. I know I'm not supposed to be here. They've defined me as not able to come. I'm unclean. I've been living this way for so long, but I'm no longer going to stop. I'm no longer going to fall back and to shrink back. I'm going to press through the crowds. And it says that she came and she touched the hem of his garment and she was instantaneously healed. The shawl that Jesus wore, the Jewish shawl, has tassels on it. A lot of people just said she came down humbly and reached. No. The shawl that Jesus wore had tassels on it. Those tassels were the signs of healing that were offered from God Almighty. So she reached down and grabbed a hold of the very thing that God has said that would bring healing to her. Through the crowds, through the naysayers, through the doubts and the questions and the people pushing her aside, she said, I'm going through. And she reached down and she touched the hem of his garment. And instantaneously, she was healed. Father, I thank you that not only do you put within our heart the will to do, but you give us the power to do it. Pushing through the crowds, pushing through our intellect, pushing through the things that so easily beset us to touch the hem of your garment. And we declare that your word is truth, and it shall not return void. Now take a moment and just speak to the Lord. I encourage you to say, Lord, here I am. Whatever Pastor was filled with today, fill me with it. That's my prayer for you. Now just speak to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, look up. I'm going to encourage you to listen to this again. It'll be online. Because not only do I want to see you enter into the fullness of what you raised your hand for, but you have to become, once you understand that, then you become the instrument of God declaring things. And many times we declare things that are not as though they are. I declare the word of the God over my marriage. I declare the word of the Lord over my finances. I declare the word of the Lord over my children, over this job. God says, that's all I need. Get me in there. And I promise you, I will release from heaven. Because I need to show you who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Give the Lord a praise offering. And let's lift our hearts to the Lord this morning. Ladies.
Yeah.
Amen. Take your neighbor's hand. We surrender to you, Lord, and we lift our hearts up. I pray for my brother and my sister on my right and left, that the Spirit, the word that was spoken today would go beyond their understanding into the depths of their spirit, because you not only want us to hear, you want to change us. And thank you, Lord, that I pray for them. And I pray, Lord, that that declaration, that they speak that word into their life, and that you use them to speak that declaration through their life. And whatever that obstacle, whatever that challenge might be, I pray, show yourself strong to them. We claim that together. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Posture of receptivity. Father, I pray your blessings upon your people. I pray peace. I pray healing. I pray the presence of the Lord, the provision of the Lord, and the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for a week of opportunities to proclaim the good news, the acceptable year of the Lord. Now receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And we claim that together in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Turn around, give somebody a hug. Have an awesome week in the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.